There was a son who wanted to enter into politics. So he asked his father for some advice and blessing. And the father said, "Son, RA 9003 of 2003, which I believe in the United States is RA 1965, which is the Solid Waste Disposal Act." So the son said, "Solid Waste Disposal Act? I'm running for politics. Why would he give me that advice?" And the father said, "It is because, son, so that people will separate you from those who are plastic, and also that you may be non-biodegradable, which means non-corruptible." Next year, we will have a midterm election in the Philippines. Less than a month, we will have a midterm election here in the United States. But in our gospel today, the theme is almost like what I told you in the story. Because Jesus wants his disciples not to be corrupted by treasures of this world, by possessions, but instead, store up treasures in heaven. In heaven. But how do you do that? How do you do that? You see, not all of us are asked to literally give away our possessions. Because wealth per se is not evil. What God is asking us is not to be too attached to our wealth, that it becomes our treasure and it becomes the main focus of our life. And that's what makes it evil. Because it blinds us of the many things that God could do. And it blinds us of the provisions that God gives us. And sometimes because we are so, you know, our mind is so much of just only the earthly treasures, we no longer consider things that are gifts from God, grace from God. Let go. Do not be attached so much to our earthly possessions. Do not be too attached so much to our earthly wisdom, and even relationships, which could hinder us to see the greater plan of God for us. How do you store up treasures in heaven? In scriptures, there are many sightings, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, about the kingdom of God and the treasures about the kingdom of God. But there is only one text specifically defining what are treasures in heaven. And you'll find that in the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 6, verse 18. When Paul said, "Do good, be rich in good works, be generous, and be ready to serve." That's how you accumulate treasures in heaven. But remember also, when Scripture speaks about sharing, there are two elements, important elements in sharing. One, share your wealth to others and use your hands to be generous in sharing it. There's nothing evil if you're rich, per se. But it is when we are so close and our hands are always closed and we could not open it and share it with others, especially for those who really need. Second, use our heart to share our spiritual wealth and spiritual health. Many of us would say, "Father, how can I share materially, when in fact we have just enough?" There are many ways. There are many ways. Spiritual wealth, which can be wisdom. The first reading is from the book of wisdom. When Solomon was asked by God, Solomon asked for anything. Solomon could have asked the riches of the world, of the earth. But then Solomon only asked one thing. Lord, give me wisdom so that I could govern your people in your wisdom. Sometimes the book of wisdom is called the wisdom of Solomon. And that's spiritual wealth. And not only that, we can also share our spiritual health. We encourage everyone to be part of the small Christian communities. Why? Because we want you to experience and also to share your spiritual wealth and health. Remember, when we share, it's not what we think of the scripture. It's not how we understand scriptures. It is how God was working in our life. So that it's God who is the main actor, and I'm just an instrument, and I'm sharing to you how God touched me, how God acted in my life in that specific word. And in that way, we are sharing. And we're not only sharing, we're also being enriched by the spiritual wealth and health of others. Second point and last point. Let go and let God. How do we store treasures in heaven? Let go and let God. And there are 5 points to remember in letting go and letting God. First point, trust God. Trust God. Let go of trying to figure out the many whys of life. Why did God allow this? Why is this happening? Why is this the way? Why is it my life is like this? Why did it rain yesterday? If I will trouble myself with answering the question, why did God allow such thunderstorm and rain yesterday, where in fact there were so many labor of love, so much planning, and so much spirit behind our one biggest evangelization program, the Oktoberfest. God is telling me, don't ask those whys. Just trust God. Trust God. Second, stop just striving, but be abiding. Be abiding in God. John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5, is that famous I am quote. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. Sometimes I hear people, Father, I'm just striving to be holy. I'm just striving not to do some bad things. It's not enough to strive. More importantly, we have to abide. We have to remain in that vine. We have to remain in God. Third, be still. The world is telling us, always struggle, always be on top, always be on the forefront, always go, 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 go. Brothers and sisters, remember scripture, Psalm 46 verse 10 saying, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the more we struggle, the more we sink. The more we struggle, the more we sink in the quicksand of this life. They say when you fall on the quicksand, the best thing you can do, what? Anybody? Yeah. Be still and just pray that somebody will pass. be still. Fourth, confess and surrender. That small room there, our confessional, is not just a place where you go and enumerate all your faults, our sins. No. It's not just an enumeration test there. More important is go to God and tell God what you feel, what is inside your heart, what's bothering you, what's your pain, what will make you a better person or us a better person. Confess. Surrender. Do you know that in scriptures, in the New Testament, that's the first mission and that's the first commandment of God? Remember what the message of John the Baptist is? We do that always on Ash Wednesday. Anybody? Repent. Very good. And believe the gospel. Mm-hmm. Last point, seek God. Seek God. You want to let go and let God? Then, let go and letting God means constantly seeking God. And you know Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13? It says there, when you look for me, when you search for me, you will find me in your heart. Deep down in the recesses of our soul, of our heart, is God. So that's when we're struggling and our hearts are restless, we cannot find God. Hopefully we're like St. Augustine, that when our hearts are restless, we find God. But most of us, when our hearts are bothered, when our hearts are restless, we don't find God, but sometimes we are go into the deep and we go to the dark abyss of depression and sometimes of sadness and sorrow. Well, here is God telling us, seek me. And if you'll only look inside your heart, there I am. Another point, very important point, in let go and let God, is that simple phrase, travel light and travel right. I've always discovered that when a person is so loaded and so focused on the material world and does not have any sense of the spiritual, it clouds the search of true peace and happiness. It clouds the search of true peace and happiness. The Dalai Lama was once asked, "What can you say about humanity?" And this is what he said about humanity, about man. Man, because he sacrifices health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. That is old being that he does not live in the present or in the future. He lives as if he is never going to die, and then dies having never fully lived. Today's scripture is telling us two things. Let go and let God. Second, God is inviting us to travel light. Put away those extra baggages. Put them overboard and travel the right way. Please all stand.